Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Into the background. Hello, you guys, and welcome to today's edition of the Astros Baseball Podcast. We are so excited to have Ryan Bokros and Wally Penberthy here with us today, and I am your girl Stadium Steffi. We have lots to cover today, lots of really exciting conversation, and guys, we are 9 sleeps away from Astros opening day, so super excited.
Days or 9 weeks?
Sleep. It really, feels you're like really 9 weeks.
You're really worried about the season, aren't you, Steph?
Hey, man, 9 sleeps. Like I said, 9 sleeps. But man, baseball season has officially kicked off with the Seoul series. Seoul? I always say that Seoul. Weird. Seoul series. with the Padres and Dodgers. So it's exciting that baseball is back upon us. But Wally, Ryan, how are you guys doing today? Wally, we'll start with you. How was your day, man?
We're good. You know, the season has arrived, and it will be bizarre when the first game is decided by a broken glove.
Crazy.
They hit a line drive to Cronenworth, and it went right through his glove, and literally right through his glove. And then the Dodgers came up from 2-1 down to 5-2 to win the game. Welcome to the new season.
Happy 2024. Ryan, how about you?
Oh, it's great. You know, does anybody remember what happened with the groundhog? Because what's up with this non-spring-like 50-degree weather in the morning? I don't mind it necessarily, but it's supposed to be spring. I'm not supposed to be wearing a hoodie out of the house in the morning. But anyway, it's great to see. You know, the season has started kind of officially, unofficially. So here we are, and let's get to it. What do you say?
Yeah, man, I'm definitely excited about this season. I will say today I had meetings back to back from like 9 o'clock till 3 and then another one at 4. My brain felt like mush towards the end of the day. So I'm excited to talk about some fun stuff like baseball. We'll get it started. Like you said, Ryan, today, our first thing that we wanted to talk about, stories around the league. Lots of things going on, from Dodgers employee issues to Blake Snell signing with the Giants. So, Ryan, what are your thoughts on kind of all the things going on around the league right now?
Yeah, some breaking news. I mean, really, crazy. This has just hit the wire over the last, you know, hour and a half, maybe. So supposedly it's already led to a federal investigation, or this is how we found out about it, is that there's a federal investigation into Shohei Ohtani. He transferred $4.5 million straight to a bookie from his bank account. This is kind of having a little J.D. Powers feel to it. If you don't remember, forget the Red Sox scapegoat back in the day. $4.5 million transferred straight from his bank account to a bookie. And his interpreter was fired today by the Dodgers. So I don't know if it's a scapegoat. I don't know if Ohtani is – we don't know a whole lot about Ohtani. Like, as a person. So this is kind of an interesting thing that's coming up. I mean, Pete Rose got banned for life for less than this, guys. This is Shohei Ohtani talking about. So
yeah, let's see what he was betting on, because you know the thing with Rose is he bet on his own team.
This is supposedly baseball betting, from what I've seen on the X. So we'll see. The interpreter's taking the fall and says Ohtani has zero involvement in the betting, and that this was his debt that he asked Ohtani to pay off. So we'll see. It's early breaking news. I guess we'll probably see more details as the night carries on.
Yeah, Ryan. Yeah. And actually, to your point, I heard the complete opposite, that it was everything but baseball betting. And according to his interpreter, he said, "We have meetings during spring training. That's the one thing I do know is don't bet on baseball, because they kind of drill it into your heads. And even when I worked with the team, they would make a huge point of that to make sure, you know, like, hey, this is against the rules. You can't do this." So apparently, according to the article by ESPN, and I know that they were talking a lot about, again, how this federal investigation was the thing that really sent it over, that they were already investigating this specific bookie, that they, you know, noticed Shohei Ohtani's name in a line, and then under the transfer, it said loan. And according to his guy, he said that, yeah, you know, when I was paying the bookie, you had to put something in the line. And so he just told me to put loan there for it. So, but again, they're saying Shohei Ohtani is not involved, necessarily, that it was a large theft against Shohei Ohtani, with the possibility of about $4.5 million of debt paid off, which is just an insane thing to think of to begin with. It's crazy. Wally, what are your thoughts on this? I would love to hear your thoughts too.
On this?
Yeah.
On this. I mean, you know, my betting stories are I lost all my summer money when I went my sophomore year of college. I worked offshore and lost all the money I made betting on football. So that ended my betting career on games. I learned quickly. You know, as far as it goes, we're now that the feds are involved, we're going to learn a lot more about what went on. Did Shohei do it? Was, you know, what happened? You know, the betting on baseball thing, if he does that, he's cooked. I mean, people talk about Rose. Yeah, but he bet on his own team. But, you know, if you're betting on your own team, you know, it's going to change the way you act, the way you perform. There's just no place to hide. It's new. We know what we read. We'll find out more. But isn't it wonderful that they have drama around the Dodgers? It's a good day when there's drama around the Dodgers.
That's funny. I won't say
which means it'll probably get swept under
friends.
The rug, because that's named for his boys.
You know,
over
you know, there. You know what it was? It was trash can trauma syndrome.
Trauma syndrome. Oh my goodness. Oh man. Well, aside from all that crazy Dodgers news today that dropped, we also did have news drop, I think it was yesterday, about Blake Snell. I know last podcast, Rob and I kind of chatted through, hey, is there still a possibility of Blake coming to the Astros? And he obviously did sign with the Giants. So Wally, take it away. What are your thoughts on the Blake Snell deal? That's where my brain mush. I told you.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Snell was really all that interested in the Astros. I think that Boris is on a fishing trip. And if the Astros blew him away with a number so big that he couldn't turn it down, he would have taken it. He ended up getting more from the Giants. He's from Seattle. It's been reported that he wanted to stay on the West Coast. I think this is maybe too big of a statement, but I think he got found out as a guy that he sounds like he's driven more by the money and where he's going to play than the actual chance to win. Although the Giants had a pretty good off season, but you know, they've got the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks in front of them. Snell as a pitcher, you know, he's got more hardware than Javier, but he's kind of a left-handed Javier. He's got electric stuff. He throws 5-6 innings. You know that when he's going to put him out there. Even the two no-hitters that Javier's been in, the World Series no-hitter. He went six, and against the Yankees, he went seven. He was gassed. And that's what you're going to get with Snell. With Urquidy going out, it would be nice to have that arm. I wonder if you're going to see like a Lorenzen or a Clevinger come in. Who knows what kind of shape they've stayed in. But, you know, we've said before, Crane doesn't spend stupid money, and he didn't spend stupid money.
Yeah, I'm okay with this move. Just, you know, kind of indifferent, I guess, really. It would have been nice to have Snell. Is Snell maybe the worst pitcher ever to win two Cy Young Awards, though? I mean, the guy gives up walks. The guy gives up home runs. He's going to a pitcher's park, which is good for him. But I don't know that we would have really seen him completely thrive in Minute Maid Park, being the type of pitcher that he is. And to know that Crane did not give him stupid money, I'm okay with it. Would have been okay with him coming. I'm okay with him not being here. So, you know, yeah, I think he helps the Giants in a really tough division. I mean, the Giants with Harrison and Black and Wynn, and they've got some good arms over there. They've got some young pitchers that are good. It's a pitcher's park. I think that he helps the Giants just become competitive in the division. I don't think that it puts them anywhere towards the top, but I think it just makes the NL West a little bit more exciting of a division this year. For the finances of the Astros, I'm okay. I'm good with this. I think that if Crane would have given Snell the kind of money that he was looking for in that, you know, 28, 30, 33 supposedly ish range, it would have been a for sure bye-bye to Bregman, even if it was a one-year deal. I think having that extra money go out, I think with this not happening, we're probably, you know, increase our chances of potentially re-signing Bregman, and probably a better outlook to going ahead and extending Tucker. That $30 million is a big deal, right? I mean, that's a big deal. That's a guy. So yeah. When you're looking at Tucker or Bregman in replacement of Snell, I'm good with not signing Snell if it increases our chances of keeping Bregman or extending Tucker. So I'm good with this.
You know, one thing about when you talk about these guys, like Tucker is a position. He's 30 million. Let's call him $30 million position. Let's talk about Bregman. He'll be a $30 million position. Altuve is a $30 million position. Our staff as it is right now is about a $71 million position. What you'd be doing with Snell is taking that $70 million position and making it a $100 million position. If you add just the salaries up of everybody who's on the staff.
I agree.
So we actually do have a comment from Jeremy W. Jeremy, thank you so much for sending in a comment. Jeremy's comment is, Bregman is 99% chance of chasing a contract elsewhere. What are your thoughts, guys? What are our thoughts on Bregman leaving the H?
Wally,
you want to take it? You're starting to hear guys on the national media talking about Bregman and the Mets. I don't think that's anything going on with the Mets. One of the backstories is that you've got Boris, who's taken a big black eye this fall, this fall and winter. I mean, he is really taking it in the shorts, especially on the pitchers, and he's going to be loaded for bear to get the very best deal he possibly can. You know, he'll look at the Astros and say, hey, I did the Altuve deal because Altuve wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bregman wants to go. Tucker's not a Boris guy. He's somebody else.
XL.
He's XL, okay. Mm-hmm. But, and Bregman, I think, is just the kind of player that if the deal can be worked here, he'll do it. But there's going to be no discount. It's going to be a war, and he is so important to the Astros because there's nobody. We'll have to go out and buy a player because we don't have a minor league ready third baseman to play. You know, Loperfido is not going to be a third baseman. Jolks is not going to be a third baseman. A couple of guys in the minors that have played.
Yeah, I mean, DiCenzo and Wagner are your only options for the third base, really. And neither of those guys are major league ready, and especially not contending team major league ready.
Yeah. They might be ready for Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement. I think with Bregman, it's one of those situations where Boris is going to do his due diligence. He's going to try and get that money for Bregman. If it's with the Astros, so be it. But I agree. I think Bregman would be very open to looking elsewhere if he needs to. But again, he is a huge important piece of this, like y'all said, not only because of him being best third baseman we've got within the majors or minors right now, but also to the things he brings intangibly to this team in the sense of leadership. He is kind of the bad cop to Altuve's good cop, in my opinion. I feel like those are probably your two main guys that have that veteran presence where you do have to have that yin and yang a little bit. So I'm definitely, it'll be interesting to see what happens once that time comes. And to all 108 of you that are currently watching the live stream, first of all, welcome. We're so excited to have you. But also, do not forget to click the link. Send your comments, questions, anything you have. We'd love to answer them on air. And we will get into our next area. We are looking at Astros injuries and starting rotation depth. Obviously, Jose Urquidy had some issues the other day with his elbow. Everything did come back looking like it was just some inflammation. So he's going to be having to do a couple exercises, but that obviously does put him back and does take him out of that starting rotation to start the season. So it's going to be very interesting to see really how this starting rotation is going to shape out, because I don't think any of us expected to not have JV, to not have Urquidy. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Astros injuries and kind of the depth that we have right now?
Well, I think it puts a little extra weight on the shoulders of Framber Javier and maybe Hunter Brown as well. I think it's going to require those guys to really be on top of their game at the start of the season, with JV being out, with Urquidy being out, and that we get some wins in those first three, you know, games of the rotation to take a little less weight off of guys like Blanco, who is probably going to end up being your five. Belak has shown pretty good spring so far. And then, you know, JP France, he's had a little bit of a struggle. He's looking okay. He just got hit. So I think that when you look at the rotation starting off and the effects that the injuries have had, it's kind of a hurry up and get well situation, because the back end of that part of the rotation is, you know, it's a little tricky. I think Blanco gets the nod, and he's the guy that comes up because he's pretty easy to shift from starter to mid relief. And mid relief is kind of that place in our pitching rotation or the pitching staff right now that is the big question mark, is getting from the starter to Hader, Presley and Abreu, right? So these injuries are a little interesting. And like you said, nobody hoped for this, of course, but really saw anything like this kind of happening and having crazy to start the season like that. Bad luck Brian just made a comment here, and I was just about to bring the name up, because I think Wally threw the name out earlier, which is Lorenzen. And if he's looking for a one-year deal to prove it, to prove himself, do y'all think Crane should go for it? Lorenzen is a guy that I've said we should be looking at. He was an all-star last year. I think he's a guy that could be a quality arm for this team. I think he's another, like you said, Wally, another Christian Javier type of pitcher. He's a guy that picks the edges. He's got pretty good heat. You know, he's not the best breaking ball pitcher that's available. Probably Montgomery's probably a little bit better, but we already know that they're not going after Montgomery. That's been the reports, at least. Yeah. So I'd be all for bringing Lorenzen in on a one-year deal and let him prove himself, and you know, give him $8 or $10 million. So I think he was offered 5.5 from somebody, which to me is probably a little bit low for a guy like him. So if you could snatch him up from $8 or maybe $10 million, keep you under the CBT, you get another arm that you can rely on, And Lorenzen's a guy that has both started and pitched in long relief. So I think he's a quality piece that could be had and you know, could help the team. Yep.
Yeah, he and Clevinger too. They're, you know, they're, it's like find the one that, that wants to sign first. There's not a whole lot of difference between them. I think Clevinger's probably got a little more of a track record on him. You know, as far as it, back to the rotation, the thing that is going to be really telling for the Astros is there. First off, what's the thing that you hear in baseball more than anything else? You can never have enough starting pitching. Never. 100%. You know, yep. You always. I mean, you start off. You're throwing five starters. You're going to pitch 9 or 10 at some point during the season, just because. Second thing, the Astros starters have to grow up real, real early. We've got 20 of the 20. We play 20 of the 20 out of 21 days to start the season. Usually, at the start of the season, they tend to give you some days off, and a lot of times you don't have to throw your fifth starter till the 20th of April, and so that's different. You know, we've got to pitch well to start off, because you know the old saying, you may not be able to win it early, but you sure can lose it.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think if Lorenzen, if we think that we can get him for a fair amount that isn't too crazy expensive, I mean, he could be a valuable piece. And again, like you said, Ryan, if he's pitched in the starting rotation and then that long relief role, he's going to be used to that. And then, you know, once we have guys back, which another thing I wanted to bring up to you two, something that Rob and I talked a bit about, you know, last show was, we are going to have a crazy influx of starting pitching once a lot of these guys get off the IL. Obviously, we have JV, we have Urquidy, who shouldn't be on the IL too long, but then you're going to have guys coming back in the middle of the season. So, you know, how are we going to think about McCullers and Garcia? You know, once these guys come back, we are just going to have an influx of starting pitching. So what do you guys think about that? And what kind of both strengths and difficulties is that going to bring for us come the middle of July?
Let me put another spin on Bad Luck Brian's question.
Yeah, go for it.
Bad Luck Brian's question is totally dependent on when do we think Urquidy and Verlander are going to pitch. Mm-hmm. If they're going to be ready by the 20th of April, I'm just throwing that out. If they're ready by the 20th of April, there's no reason to waste $8 million on either Clevinger or Lorenzen.
True.
You'll know what kind of shape those two guys are if they go out and sign somebody else. Okay, Ryan, you answer the question.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I think that's the question, is how long is JV, you know, going to get saddled? And he told us he was 2 weeks behind when we started camp, right? So if that's just 2 weeks that he needs to get right and to get back to major league ready – and come on, then maybe you don't need to go out and grab somebody.
Yeah.
Come June and July, yeah, you've got two potentially really good midseason acquisitions in Junior and Luis Garcia. Yeah, what do you do there? I think that what happens is you have to really kind of see who does what up into that point. Luis Garcia is going to come back as a starter, right? Despite some of the time that he spent in the bullpen last year, which was really interesting because he did a badass job coming out of the bullpen.
He was amazing.
you know, and who knows, maybe that's his role when he comes back, because it's just, let's finish off the season, man. You come in and you just kill it from the pen, right? McCullers, I don't even know. I love Lance McCullers. Like, got jerseys. I freaking love Lance McCullers Jr. The guy's arm is just made of glass. I don't think that he will ever be a viable starter in Major League Baseball again. I just really
totally
don't.
So found money.
He's relying totally on him to come back as a starter. You can't rely on McCullers to come back as a starter at all. So the back end of or a bullpen that includes Lance McCullers Jr., Hader, Presley, Abreu, you know, like, this could be, and a lot of people even said it coming into the season before spring's training started, that the Astros' potential rotation could be the best, like, 13 arms combined on one team ever. Like, this could be the best pitching rotation that baseball has ever seen if all of these guys come healthy. And it's true when you look at the potential here, but we got to get those guys. They got to come back healthy and be well. And Josh Miller and Joe Espada have their workout for them, trying to figure out where to put everybody and make it happen to where, number one, you're going to have some well-rested guys going into the playoffs, because when Garcia and McCullers come back, you know, you can rest JV a little bit. You can get Fromber some rest. You know, a couple of the young guys that aren't used to going above 120, 125 innings, it's a good problem to have if everybody comes back well.
Yeah, Seth, a guy I used to work with had a great line, said, "Everyone needs a problem. I'll take that one."
Absolutely. Yeah. So Jeremy W. came in with another question, wanted to get our opinion on Dana's comments about available free agent starting pitching not being worth the money, potential contract posturing. Wally, we'll start it with you. What do you got?
Not sure I quite get what the question's asking, but you know, as far as the contract posturing goes, these guys are starting to lose paychecks here in a week or two. There's no posturing to go on. You know, when mama starts not getting the paycheck and wants her husband to go out and go to work, you know, it's time to go to work. And in all seriousness, is when these get every day that goes by, these guys become less and less valuable. Let's take a Snell situation, since the math works really well. Let's just say Snell can't come back, is not really the pitcher and really ready to go until, say, the 1st of May. He's wanting $30 million a year, okay? That means he's pitching $30 million a year and you're only getting 5 months out of him. That's an effective $36 million contract. You know, these guys, no one's going to pay them. A guy like Mike Clevinger, a guy like Michael Lorenzen, I mean, they've had nice careers. But it's time for them to, you know, and Montgomery, the number they're talking about Montgomery is, he's saying, you're hearing he wants 7 years, $210 million, and he wants to be on the East Coast. Well, you know, that's a nice thought, but it's time to, you know, time to come down to earth, Jordan.
Yeah, it's funny, right? I mean, Snell had what was it, 5150, 5160 offered to him from the Yankees. And he declined totally it because he wanted 7270 was the numbers that Boris started throwing out. And then what happened? He sat on the shelf and had to take essentially what's a 1 year deal for $31 million, mm-hmm. Playing home games in California. That ain't a $31 million contract, yo. So you know when you're looking at, you know, Montgomery being out there, Lorenzen being out there, you know, Clevinger, I'll be surprised if somebody really gives Clevinger. Somebody's going to have to really think that they can fix Clevinger to bring him in. But yeah, posturing for contract. Yeah. You know, you at this point, anybody that you bring in, you want cheap. So maybe there's a little bit of it to just kind of see from Dana, if he can get somebody on a super discount, you know, like a Lorenzen, if he can grab Lorenzen at $6 or $7 million because he turned down 5.5, then, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that going on. It's all a game until you sign a deal or you say no and they run off to somebody else. So I think until the Astros know exactly what they've got going on, there's always that possibility, right?
Yeah. Negotiating 101, the guy who's not saying anything is the guy that's got the leverage.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today. and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. Yeah.
Yeah, I think too, just kind of hitting on Ryan's point, you know, talking about the staff that we have, if everyone comes back healthy, we're hopefully expecting JV back very early. We're expecting Urquidy to not be missing too much time. So that right there too, it's one of those situations where it's like, well, you know, you're going to have these guys back and hopefully soon. So do you really want to spend the money on bringing someone else in who may or may not work out with the team when you already have guys that are hopefully going to be ready sooner rather than later? So so far I fully trust Dana in his decision making. Haven't seen him make too many bad moves yet. I know everyone kind of was with the Abreu move at the beginning of last season, but I don't even know that that was necessarily a bad move. I think it'll be interesting.
That was done before Dana.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that was done before Dana.
That was a Bagwell-Crane deal.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. And I was like, I think that was Bagwell-Crane. But shoot, even that move could end up working out for us because he's looking a lot healthier this year and I'm pretty excited to see it. And I was pretty big Stan last year, so hoping the best for him on that one. But yeah, so definitely putting my faith in Dana until he proves me otherwise. So
absolutely.
So, man, speaking of opening day, it is right around the corner. And obviously the Astros have been making some moves, sending a couple guys to the minor leagues with Hensley and Cabbage. So we are getting closer and closer to really seeing what this opening day roster is going to look like. So Ryan, what are your thoughts on our potential roster? With the guys still fighting for those spots, who do you think comes out on top?
Yeah, you know, Espada said it the other day. I guess maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was Monday. If you're still up, your chances of making it are pretty good. So
better than the guys that got sent down.
Yes.
Very true.
Yeah, that's the word, right? Yeah, that was right at the time that they sent those guys down that he said that. So, yeah, I think it's, I guess one of the big question marks for me is you brought it up, Abreu, right? How healthy is he going to be and coming back? And the big question there is, do they really feel that they need to keep Singleton around because of Abreu? So I think Singleton is still a big question mark. I don't think he's a shoe-in because Lou Perfitto can play first base, right? Hensley went down. He was probably your other potential first base guy that could have covered that. So I think that there's a big question mark there for me is Singleton a shoe-in because the potential for Abreu to not be, you know, 100%. So, but yeah, Cabbage and Hensley going down, that really kind of shored up where we, you know, where we really are. Lou Perfitto may end up getting the nod if Kessinger's hamstring doesn't really come back strong and he's not going to be ready for opening day. So I it's kind of exciting to think that Lou Perfitto might actually end up going ahead and making the opening day roster. I'd be so happy for that kid. He's worked so hard. I think he's the kind of guy that can see what somebody like Dubon has done as a career and really embrace the opportunity that he'll have on this team to kind of be Dubon 2.0 maybe with a left-handed bat. So it's good. It's good. It'll be a lot of fun to see really what this ends up looking like. But I think the big questions are, you know, are Singleton and Lou Perfitto.
Yeah. I've got on the bench, I've got Caratini, Singleton, Dubon and Jolks. I think what they want to do with Lou Perfitto is he's really opened some eyes. I don't think they're really ready to start his clock. And I think, Ryan, you know, we were all texting a little before this, talking about how Lou Perfitto needs to get a position. You know, find a position. I think they'll send him down because the one thing they, when you look at the prospect, the 30 top prospect write up, it kind of goes around. They say he's got fringy defense. You know, we've seen him hit. We haven't seen enough of the defense to see it show. You know, second base, that doesn't seem to be his position because the positions they showed him are outfield, first and second. They didn't think he was the second baseman. You know, if you're trying to ensure yourself of having a bat when Bregman's gone, you're talking about putting Lou Perfitto at third and he's going to stay there all year. You know, you're going to get him in there and he's going to They're going to hit him ground balls every day.
Yep. And that was my joke. That was my joke. Some of our listeners probably know Brett Chansey, H-Town Wheelhouse over on the Locked On Astros podcast. And he had a post earlier about Lou Perfitto. And I said, send him down and start getting him reps at third because, the whole Breggy situation. And we don't have, DiCenzo and Wagner. I don't know. Go get Lou Perfitto some reps at third base. Send him down and get him some full-time
DiCenzo's reps at third. DiCenzo's is well thought of, but to your point of what Espada said or Dana said, if you're up here, you still have a chance. Well, DiCenzo hadn't seen the camp for a week and a half.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to see what this roster looks like. I hope Singleton makes the team just because I feel like I have a soft spot for Singleton after watching his journey, watching him come back. It's been exciting. It's been awesome. And I'm kind of with Wally on the thought of Lou Perfitto. I think they're probably going to want him to have more of that consistent playing time. I want to see him on the everyday roster. I think once he's up, he may be one of those guys that stays up. So I think for him, having those reps, having all of that time to be a full-time player in the minors may do him a little bit better until there really is a big opportunity for him to step up. So it'll be interesting to see how the roster shakes out in the next 8 days, which again is crazy to think that we are 8 days away from opening day for the Astros, since baseball is technically already started with the Seoul Series. So
For the rest of the roster, one of the things that did not work out is that I think they really were hoping Dylan Coleman would be a guy. And since he flamed out, that means you've got like the Mashinskis and the Souzas who are going to be on the roster. And Souza's been not great. It doesn't, with relief pitchers, it doesn't take too much to sky your ERA, and it takes about 2 months to get it down. Mm-hmm. But Belak is Belak. He's going to be that guy that comes like that in the fourth or fifth inning and gets you two or three innings. And Martinez has pitched well. Your magic.
Oh, Wally, I think you muted on accident. Technical difficulties. It's
Wally,
fine.
Pressing buttons.
Yeah, but they've got a great back end, but getting to that back end could be pretty problematic.
Well, that was one of my things about bringing in Snell is, Snell's a five and dive guy, right? Like if they bring Snell in, you're going to rely on this guy for the season to be one of your top, top of the rotation guys. You're going to be using middle relief a lot. And with the question marks that are there, again, this is just another reason that I'm okay with Snell not being here. It's the question marks there in the middle of the rotation cannot be answered soon enough.
Yeah. Well, like we said, he's a left-handed Javier.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more hardware. He's got more awards than Javier does, but they profile very much the same.
Yep.
Well, you guys, we talked through a ton today, obviously had a lot to chat about with the season being right around the corner. So I will start off with Ryan. Ryan, do you have any final thoughts for the day?
So my final thought kind of goes back to my first thoughts. is scrolling a little bit through Twitter here as the pod is rolling. I just have to wonder what bookie is floating some random Japanese interpreter $4.5 million. There's a lot of something smelling fishy around here, and I think it'll be very interesting to watch what really comes out of this Ohtani bookie gate, whatever it's getting called now. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to watch, but
I wonder if Shohei's nervous going through customs.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm done. And that's the podcast, bad. Folks. Wally has zingers all the
Wally,
time.
Wally throwing it out.
All right. So my final thought is there's always somebody who's kind of an under the radar guy who's going to be really important. Mine is Montero. He was so good in 22. He was so bad for most of the year. And really, you know, he got better at the end of the year, but he wasn't great at any part of the year. He started off real well. He's thrown in a couple of clunkers. Yesterday, he got out of one with a double play. If he's good, man, that's huge for the team. Because you can't throw Hader, you can't throw Presley, you can't throw Abreu every night. And we know we can't throw Abreu the first two nights.
Yep.
So Rafael just became Brian for the first two games of the season. So how's he going to hold up? Can he find 22? You know, if we get to a point mid-year when he's just a disaster, do they just cut him and say, we're going to just eat the contract? Because just like the guys we're talking about bringing in as starters or free agents, every day that he plays, we owe him less and less.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a huge key to the team this year.
Agreed. I agree. And Wally, I apologize that I started laughing in the middle of you chatting, but we had a comment from Shrugging Emoji Guy. That is his name. Shrugging Emoji Guy. Thank you so much. Or girl. I can't tell if that's girl hair or guy hair. Shrugging Emoji Person. Thank you so much for your comment. And I believe this was in regards to Ryan's final thoughts. Draft Queens.
Oh, my.
That's why I started laughing in the middle. It was not because I thought your Rafael Montero take was hilarious. I think it's fantastic personally, but that comment was hilarious and I couldn't help myself. So I apologize, Wally.
You're allowed to have fun on the pod.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Serious face. All right, everybody.
So
what we need to do is need to give the Bregman home run look.
Just silence for 10 seconds, yeah. Right? Won't make any of the listeners not viewing the live feed have any questions at all. Like, did the feed go out? Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Wally pressed the button again.
Yeah. Except for everybody.
Yeah. I didn't press it. I don't know why that thing went to mute.
Oh, who knows, man? Technology these days.
Stephanie, your final thoughts.
Thank you, Ryan. While he's getting too eager, man, I tell you. I love it, though. But so my final thoughts, we definitely had some fun stuff coming out of the clubhouse today. Thank you to Brian McTaggart for all of the good and fun content from the Astros clubhouse. First off, if you did not see, make sure you check out Brian McTaggart's pinned tweet on his Twitter / X, whatever you want to call it. Apparently, Astros closer Josh Hader has narrowed his ninth inning walkout song options to three different choices. He is going to make the decision, but does want to see what the fans think for his song. So far, Fireman by Lil Wayne in the lead by 65.9%, with DOA by Jay-Z at 22%. And then Every Chance I Get by DJ Khaled at 12. So make your voice known to Josh Hader, folks. Make sure that you are putting your two cents in that poll. And then some more fun things from Brian. He did have
It has to be Fireman, though.
It has to be.
I mean, the siren going off in Minute Maid Park like that would be sick.
And can you imagine with the light? You know they're going to do the light show.
Yeah.
Imagine just like fire on the video boards, like all over.
Gotta be. Yeah.
It has to be. And then in some other fun team news, Brian McTaggart basically did an article, or not an article, it was his Astros beat that he puts out every week, talking about the handful of Astros players who have their schools still in March Madness, trying to get some info from these guys. Who are they rooting for? Are they rooting for their own team? My favorite by far, though, was Corey Jolks, obviously U of H grad, saying, "We're going to take it all." He thinks of them losing that last game to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament champion was just a reminder. You got to come ready, and especially for March Madness. But he definitely thinks that this is going to be the Cougars' year. And I think most of Houston would love to see that. And yeah, I think Joe Espada too was very much on the U of H train as an honorary Houston fan, saying that he thinks they're going home with the trophy too. So we love the hometown love from the team, from Espada. And guys, 8 days away from opening day. I'm just going to keep saying that until it's tomorrow, and then I'll be saying 7 days for a long time. But we have one final comment. Let's see what it is. Yeah. So shrugging emoji person said, sorry, I couldn't help myself. Shrugging emoji person, we love you, and we got a good laugh. We appreciate you so much. And to all of the fans that joined myself, Ryan and Wally today, thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope to have you back for our next episode of the Astros Baseball Podcast, and hope everyone has an amazing week. And let's go Astros. Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.